Well, as tempting as it is to preach about a herd of demon-possessed pigs, and I'm serious about that, this morning I was drawn to the prophet Elijah. Now, Elijah has been a bold, physically strong, confident prophet. And in today's story, we hear he is running away in a crisis of fear and frustration, exhausted and depressed. He eventually winds up on Mount Horeb at the foot of a cave where we are told he hears the voice of God in the form of a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? This question not only reaches into the depths of Elijah's being and life and purpose, but to ours as well. The question points us to the greater possibilities of what we are created to be in God. Like in the psalm, we hear that our soul thirsts for God, like a deer thirsts for the running stream. This question invites us to know the freedom that we have to inhabit who we truly are. So I'd like to reflect together about this question. Now, first of all, like many Old Testament stories, the story of Elijah that we heard can feel challenging to relate to, partly because these stories are dressed, so to speak, in thick layers of ancient worldviews and literary styles that are so different from ours today. And it's easy to get lost in those layers and feel disconnected from the hyperbole of exaggerated statements and imagery, to be disturbed by the worldview of patriarchy and violence. These ancient scriptures were originally an oral tradition, and then they were written down 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, long ago and far away, and written down by many different voices at many different times and places. And the scripture also includes many different types of literature. It's not all just literature. It's not all just one story. There's ancient storytelling styles, speeches, legal documents, songs, poetry, prayers, wisdom literature, apocalyptic literature, and cross-referencing among the many books. So it's very complex and seemingly long ago and far away from here, from our world. But beneath these outer coverings, there are stories of ancestors, stories of the roots of Christianity, human beings as they strive to understand and grow in relationship with God, as they strive to grow in understanding and relationship with the great wisdom and mystery of life that we are all created from and living in. And we can learn to shine a probing light through the gauze of the ancient overlay to see that the writings are threaded through with the inspiration of spirit, with profound insight. Despite the distortions from the worldviews, the texts point us to underlying meaning that is universal and timeless, and therefore relatable and valuable here and now to us. Stripped down to the essence, Elijah's story is rich and relatable. In chapter 5 of the New Testament letter of James, it says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Elijah was just living his human life, trying to do his best with it, as we are, and struggling, as we sometimes are. His answer to God's question, why are you here, is an explosive tirade. So I've tried to do everything I'm supposed to do. Things aren't changing. I can't make things change, and the whole country is acting against what is right, and my life is in danger, and I'm all alone here. I can't take it anymore. And most if not all of us human beings will experience at some time Elijah's feelings of despair about how life is going despite our best efforts, of feeling all alone, of feeling that people and circumstances are working against us. It can be true in our intimate lives inside us. It can be true in our struggles with the world around us, especially in times such as these, where it feels like there's a new heartbreak every day. Elijah represents the difficulty of striving to live deeply in the truth, the difficulty of listening for God's guidance and wondering if it'll be there, of being a political dissenter, striving to bring about change, of feeling inadequate to the tasks that face him. And Elijah's despair also reflects that he has lost touch with the fact that God is with him, lost touch with the fact that he is part of something bigger than himself. It's not all up to him. And we forget that too, all the time. I remember one time a few years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine about something that was bothering me, and she said, "Have you prayed about this?" I forgot. We can feel the weight of our life to be all on our shoulders and experience that we're all alone. And we forget that we're not connected to something bigger. We often struggle as if we are alone. We forget to reach out. We forget to pray. We forget to be still. We forget to listen. We forget in the day-to-day hurriedness to look for and pay attention to all the ways we are offered help, all the sources through which support can come, including the life of God that is unfurling in our core. And all of this calls us back to the question, what are you doing here? What are you doing here today? What are we doing here in this life? How are we using our lives? What are we focusing on? What do we think about most? Poet Mary Oliver put the question in a now very famous way when she said, "Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" A Buddhist poem about living the highest form of life, that is, one dedicated to compassion for all beings, says, "This precious human life, so hard to find, offers the ultimate goal for living beings. If we do not strive to accomplish this goal now, how will such a precious opportunity arise again?" What are we doing here? We can ask the question about our inner lives, our personal lives with family and friends. We could ask the question about our life here at St. Paul's as a faith community, a community with many resources to offer, including love and compassion and faith, financial resources, energy, care. We can ask the question about our lives as members of a human family in this time we are now living in, as followers of Christ who are committed to serve justice and love at a time when injustice and hate and suffering are on the rise in heartbreaking ways. Such as, just to give one example, the demonization of immigrants who are being arrested and denied basic due process as families and children are split up in terrifying ways. What are we doing here? The question in all these contexts might be asked in terms of our possibilities and our opportunities. What are we capable of doing? Given each of our unique gifts and resources, what are we capable of given the divine powers that we were given as part of our creation, such as conscious awareness, the capacity to give and receive love endlessly, the capacity to sense God's presence and engage with it, the capacity of imagination, the capacity of creative and advanced thinking, the gift of compassion. Recently, I heard someone say that the saddest thing in life is a missed opportunity realized too late. Now, despite his sense of isolation and despair, as we heard Elijah asking to die, asking for his life to be taken away, despite all that, he was sustained by God in the deserts. The angels nourished him. God guided him. He was given what he needed. His experience shows us that God speaks to us in many ways, not just in the ways we might expect. God didn't appear to him in the great wind or the earthquake or the fire, but in the sound of sheer silence, in the still small voice, in the gentle whisper. Biblical commentator John Gray said that this story presents us the revelation of God in an intelligible communication rather than in the spectacular phenomena described. This marks an advance in humanity's conception of God as personally accessible and intelligible to us within the framework of our human experience. God's wisdom is personally accessible and intelligible to us. We have the freedom and the power to engage with it. And we have been given great gifts and resources to act on it. What are we doing here? What will we choose?